You know, this was a first announced, I guess, over a year ago, but I really hadn't seen all that much about it. But there is a massive redo coming to Love Field, $2.5 billion. And there are lots of changes that are going to come. And there's a lot of moving parts out there. And this has become a real commodity for people in North Texas. The director of Love Field, actually the city aviation director, but also the czar of Love Field, is Patrick Carino, who joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, David. It's great to be here and talk to you today.
You like that title, the czar of Love Field? That,
you know, I do. I like that a little bit.
I'm
going to have to use that. Yeah.
So this, it seems like just the other day they were tearing everything up and redoing the entrances and everything else. Obviously, it wasn't the other day. But am I right? This was built for like 8 million passengers a day. You're double that now?
Yeah, that's a good point. We get that question a lot. We did. It wasn't much. It wasn't long ago that we had the Love Field Modernization Program. And really, when some of the amendments and the changes to the Wright Amendment reform came in, it really allowed Love Field to kind of take some growth steps. And, you know, I think at the time, Southwest, the city, you know, didn't envision this type of growth. And it's a good thing. But we were really designed for, we want to say around 6 to 8 million in plane passengers was a passenger boarding. So that's about, you know, 12 to 16 million passengers. We got up over around 18 million about a year ago or so. So really, we started to see this kind of coming the last few years. And how do we continue to have that growth? How do we have that efficiency, that ease of use that Love Field is known for? Under the gate cap, we're still capped at 20 gates by federal law. And that's how we started to envision this program. We got into a master plan about 3 years ago, and these projects came out of the master plan. We worked closely with our partner, Southwest Airlines, and now we're really excited to get this launched and moving forward.
So the idea of having 20 gates, well, it was multiple. It was to placate a lot of people. But one is it put an effective growth cap on the airline, on Love Field, at least a lot of people thought. So what's happening, I gather, is the airplanes are getting bigger. And they're carrying more people. You could only have 20 gates, but if you got an airplane that carries 190 people instead of 110, it'll fill up the terminal.
Exactly. So there's a couple that is, upgauging of aircraft is a big piece of this. Southwest continues to put new aircraft types of the MAX 7 and MAX 8 that have typically more seats than the previous generation of 737s. We also look at per turn at a gate. So we look at gate utilization, which is one of the highest probably in the world. So we probably have, close to double what a typical airport would run off a gate. So we try to push 11, our forecast goes to 11 and a half turns per gate. So that's where you see our peer airports that have 20, 40, 60, 80 gates running these types of numbers. We're able to do that at 20 with the efficiency, with what Southwest is able to do at about 18 or 19 of those gates. That's how we're able to get those passenger numbers out. So I get the question a lot, well, what else are you going to do? You can't add gates. Well, our forecast says that we can get about 6 million more passengers, right? So we are going to do everything we can from an efficiency standpoint and working closely with Southwest to get to that number under that gate cap.
Are you going to provide for more gates just in case they change their mind sometime so you don't have to go down?
We do think about that in the planning. That's a great question. We actually, in our new agreement with Southwest, we did envision that. So there's gates that are, we call pre-approved, that are funded if we're allowed to do that. So if somebody comes in someday and says, we need to add gates or the law needs to change again, the facility will have the ability to kind of adapt to that. So it doesn't change our planning and design too much. It's just something that we think about so that when, if we come in down the road, we don't want to be doing this, again, maybe.
Well, you don't want to demolish everything you just built. So what's the order of magnitude? Could you squeeze another 10 in there or something if the law changed?
So if law changed, we did something unique here. When we were doing the planning processes, airports look at their forecasts. So they look at operations, passenger numbers. And we did that in a constrained environment and a 20-day cabin unconstrained. So we looked at our market, and it's not cannibalizing DFW Airport or anything like that. Just what would you do in the city of Dallas if I was in a regular airport environment? Because typically what we do in an airport, we go, oh, okay, we got to build X more gates. So we don't have a planned gate number, what you could get to, but we know that we could get to the 20 million plane passengers, which is about 40 million by 2040. So we would go if in an unconstrained environment and we could add gates and there wasn't a law, we would right now we're capped around 24 million. We could probably get to 40 million in the planning horizon, which is the next 20 years.
That
So that's what
is.
we look at. And that's big, but obviously, the Wright Amendment's been something that's big in North Texas, and very, you know, it is something there'd have to be the political will for somebody to do something with that down the road. That's not something me as the czar of Love Field, as you said, would have the ability to do. What my job is to say, hey, if someday something were to change, we want to put the city in a position where we're not tearing stuff down, changing things again. We want to keep this facility for decades to come, not come back in 12 years and try to redo it again.
Well, and that's really that's the question is how do you future-proof an airport? I mean, obviously, 20 years ago, nobody could have built it would have envisioned 9/11, and built an airport that could incorporate, you know, screening and TSA and everything else. But right now, I mean, I look at I think one of the most intriguing things in aviation that's coming is the rapid evolution of these electric vertical takeoff and landing airplanes.
Absolutely.
I saw LA put in first vertiport the other day, but I mean that would seem like very logical. Planes, little electric airplanes carrying I don't know half a dozen people, going from Love to DFW or downtown or to Tyler. So can you incorporate that?
Absolutely. I think running I think the benefit we have here, Love Field, you know, I am the director of aviation for the city of Dallas. We also have Dallas Executive Airport, a reliever, general aviation. We're re-envisioning our vertiport down at the convention center as the convention center's changing. And I think it's a unique time with this program, with the vertiport with Dallas Executive, that we actually just finished a kind of a mini master plan. We call it an airport layout plan at Dallas Executive, where we can start to incorporate these new entrants and these vertical takeoff and lift, electric, short field takeoff type of aircraft. That, you know, not just from point to point, maybe from here to DFW or here to downtown, but you know, from here, like you said, to Tyler. And then what are those facilities need to look like? So we're looking at those, and at the least we're putting in the right protection to get, you know, if we need a vertiport on a certain spot at this airport or at Dallas Executive. We've seen some of these electric regional aircraft coming in that one of our partners on the field, JSX, has been looking at. That takes a very short takeoff distance, so you can use those different ways. So we're really interested in it, and how do we protect the city as well? So how are we integrating those in? But we obviously want to be a big part of that. There's a lot of testing going on in Texas with that. Council of Governments in North Texas is working closely with TxDOT and the FAA and testing. So we try to be a big part of that, and that is certainly built into our plans because, like you said, in 20 years we may be flying these things. It may be a different transportation model, and we've got to be ready as a city to integrate those into the city.
Now, you're not a for-profit organization. You are, you know, you're run to break even and not cost the city any money. But by the same token, there is some competition out there. I mean, this whole battle between DFW and Love Field played out, and it looks to be very calm right now. But now, you know, the whole area, whether it's the Fort Worth side or the Dallas side, is all moving north. And McKinney's getting ready to open up a modest airport right now, but ideally with commercial service. I mean, do you ever hear like footsteps behind you?
No, you know, because we're kind of artificially constrained, we've got a lot more demand than we can supply. And I think what's unique about Love Field, we are right in the heart of Dallas. If you look at what the mayor and the city of Dallas are doing with Yall Street and bringing these financial organizations or companies in and really growing that, our airport is really keyed into that. We're in a unique spot. When people travel, they want ease of use, they want close. A lot of the people flying in North Texas are very close to Love Field.
Right.
We are the second busiest private jet airport in the country behind Teterboro in New York City. So there is a lot of private jet activity. So people want to be here. We are close to the institutions that are using the airport. We're close to the passengers using it. So maybe someday if the gate cap came up, I would feel, and we had more gates, I'd feel those footsteps. But right now, we were more fending people off than worrying about who's behind us.
Which may explain the rise of McKinney Airport. So, one last thing. So, $2.5 billion. How long is it going to take you to spend it? And when do we start seeing the dirt fly? Or when do we start seeing the diversions at Love Field?
Sure. There's a couple things with that. So we're really looking at about 6 years from now to have the substantial completion. I'd say you're going to start seeing dirt fly, but one of the things that's important for us, because of our unique constraints, we have got to run this at 100% and continue to grow. So we're working through phasing and scheduling, and how do we do some enabling work, probably starting next year, to help us build this, but continue to run the operation. We don't have the luxury of just taking some gates down and moving the aircraft to another gate. So we've got some unique ideas on that that we're working through with our program team. But you'll definitely see us starting to kind of kick things off next year. The bulk of the heavy work will really start in 28, and then you'll see us wrapping up by 22, 23, or 30, 32, 33 right now. But what's good about this is things like concourse, where if you've been in, Love Field and you use the after security, it's really congested. There's not enough restrooms, there's not enough concession. The good thing is we're planning right now to do this modularly in kind of sections at a time. So as soon as one section's gone, that'll be available for use, and you'll see some of that relief right away. So even though it's going to take us some time to fully complete it, hopefully you're going to start seeing some relief in 28, 29 on some of our pain points in the concourse area.
Sounds like conducting an orchestra or something, bringing all the bits together. Patrick Carino is the city aviation director for the city of Dallas and the aforementioned Czar of Love Field. And it also sounds like you got about 6 years worth of job security for this job. So we wish you the best. Thank you very
Yeah,
much.
thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for more of our conversation. Go to krld.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.